We've been in this whole adventure of the Unashamed series, and I'm going to do a rewind for those of you who weren't here. We started out about 5 weeks ago, because this is the last week. It's also the last week of youth on a Sunday morning, because we're heading into a bit of a break over the end of the year. But we found this verse that said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God bringing salvation to everyone who believes. And we've been a little bit embarrassed to say that sometimes we are ashamed. Have you ever been ashamed to tell anyone that you're a Christian or to share the gospel? Ever? Anyone who's ever been ashamed or shy, put your hand up. Come on, don't leave me hanging. Come on. Even Imta's got his hand up, honest boy. We asked 1 week, and we had a court case up here, and some people were released from the crime that they were supposedly have committed, which was they were a Christian. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Challenging. And the question was, does anybody actually know that you're a Christian? Who knows? And we all decided to follow either Julius or Tatsun Konzo on Twitter, but actually the challenge was to follow Jesus, and not on Twitter, because the Jesus on Twitter doesn't have a little green tick above his name, because Jesus is not tweeting, apparently. Imta's tweeting. Don't get mixed up between the two. They look similar, but they're not one and the same person. We saw that one of the favorite phrases of Jesus was, follow me. He just kept on telling people, follow me. He was a little bit follow me maniacal. Everywhere he went, he said, hey, you're not following someone. You don't have a rabbi. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I'll change your profession. I'll teach you to be someone that helps other people follow Jesus. We also looked last week, how can we be a follower of Jesus? We said, just find him. Jesus is mostly down on the park bench there by Zoo Lake. So you can go to the bench, find him, and then what you do is you watch him, you study him, and then follow him. Okay? We said that if you look at the Bible, that's the best place to find Jesus. You may find him on the park bench, but I can't guarantee it, or which one, because he kind of moves around a bit. If he's smelling of benzene, that's probably not Jesus. I don't know. He might, but I don't think he does. He doesn't drink a whole lot. He does turn water into wine at weddings. Very interesting. So, where are we going today? What are we going to talk about in this last week? I want you to think for a moment, if I had to, and I know school's out, this is a bit technical for this time of the year, but, and can you guys put this on the ground for me? Because it's like in people's ways. Can you drop it down for me? Don't break your back because it weighs like a ton. If I had to chart someone's spiritual state, okay, from very low, in other words, I'm Adolf Hitler, to very high, Mother Teresa. Okay, you get the spread, okay? Or just like a low spiritual state. Told you it was heavy, didn't I? Okay, you won't have to work out this week now. Oh, you're from Pretoria, so it's not a problem. Pretoria boys apparently are quite strong. Folkson was from Pretoria, apparently. And then if on the other axis, we're going to plot things like markers on the journey. What are things that happen? Now, do you think that your line would look like that? I'm sure Dale's line looks like that. Or would it look like a heart machine, maybe? Well, I don't know. I don't know about your little chart. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk you through Peter's journey, okay? One of the disciples. I've tried to take all the key events in his life in order, and we're going to quickly look. So he was one of the first guys to follow Jesus, and this is what it was like. In Matthew 4, Jesus says to Simon Peter and his brother who's brought him to Jesus, come, follow me. And Peter begins to follow Jesus. So I'm going to put him down over there, okay? You might say, well, that's not a low thing. Well, work with me on this, okay? He starts to follow Jesus. Secondly, not much later, he sees someone walking on water towards him, and he's in a boat, and he says, Jesus, is that you? Like, who else is going to be walking on water, really? Okay, I mean, who else walks? I'm going to be baptizing Tanita at her house just now. I'm not going to walk on water. I'm going to sink, right? Because you normally sink. Hello, Vincent. Big entrance, bro. Big entrance. Welcome. Peter says, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come to you and I'll walk on water. And Jesus says, come. He sets out and he's walking on water. Don't you think that deserves a bit of a climb, okay? So we're moving in the right direction, okay? This is Peter's journey. The third thing is, Jesus says, like, so who do people say I am? And Peter, you know, some say, Elijah, you're one of the prophets. Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus is like, whoa, flesh and blood hasn't told you that. That's straight from heaven. Ding, ding, well done, go to the top of the stack. And his incredible confession of who Jesus is. Can you see how your life should just go up and up and up and up? It's not too later that Jesus says, oh, by the way, I'm going to be killed. I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to die. Peter says, like, Jesus, we need to talk. Come here, my buddy. Like, don't be saying stuff like that, because we're trying to start a movement here. We're trying to start a church. You go telling people you're going to die, that's not a cool thing. I ain't going to let that happen. Over my dead body, you're going to die. Jesus says, well, get ready to die, dude, because I'm going to die. He rebukes Jesus for any thought that he will do anything else than have an incredible life on earth. It's not too much later that Jesus is on a mountain and two guys come and meet with him, Moses and Elijah. And he's like shining and he's brilliant. His clothes are like dazzling. And Peter looks at this and says, wow, I'm going to build three tents so that we can stay here, one for each of you, and you can stay on the mountain. This time, Jesus doesn't rebuke him at all. He just ignores him. And he's standing there with a little bit of egg on his face. So his advice for Jesus wasn't incredible. It's not long later that Jesus actually has been arrested. Peter takes out his sword, because remember he said earlier, I ain't going to let this happen to you. Takes out his sword, he cuts off, can you see the poor dude's ear there? This is like blood everywhere. And he cuts off the high priest's ear. Malchus is his name. And Jesus just picks up the ear, puts it back, and says, Peter, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. That's not one of Peter's more memorable moments, when he tries to defend Jesus and he gets it wrong. I'm hoping he's sunk as low as he can go. But that evening, around a fire, three different people say to Peter, weren't you that one, that incredible guy with Jesus? You're one of his disciples, aren't you? Three times he says, I don't know him. And the last time he like swears and says, I bloomin' hell don't know that man. You've got me confused with someone else. Maybe Tats and Konzo is the guy who was a follower, but not me. I don't follow Jesus. I mean, you're not getting much deeper than that, are you? Unless you're Peter, that is. Peter then says, you know what? I'm going back to fishing. Peter was a fisherman. He had a whole fleet of boats. He actually says more when he says, I'm going fishing after that. He says, I'm done. Jesus is dead. I'm going back to my day job. I'm not one of those followers of Jesus anymore. That's quite deep, right? I mean, it almost seems like he's worse off than when he followed Jesus. Now, fortunately, I don't have any more lines going south. I only have lines going north from there, because Jesus comes and he meets Peter on the beach and he says, Peter, do you love me? He's like, yeah, but I kind of deny you and stab you in the back and cut off people's ears, but I love you. Jesus says a second time, like, do you love me? And he's going with a deeper word of love. You know, he starts with phileo. Do you like love me like you love hamburgers? Peter's like, yeah, dude, you're awesome. It's like Nando's, like combo. Jesus says, do you agape me? Do you sacrificially love me? And in the end, Jesus says, well, go and feed my sheep again. He's recommissioned him back to what he can be, and he's totally forgiven. He's on the way up. He's being restored. It doesn't take long before Peter is up on a stage with a microphone or a loud voice preaching, and 3,000 people give their lives to Jesus. They say to him, what can we do to receive salvation? An incredible moment of him preaching up a storm. Don't you think he's heading in the right direction now? Then, in chapter 3, he sees a blind beggar. Not a blind beggar. A beggar. And not a burger. Okay? Not the Steers ad type of burger. But a real person who's lame. And he says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you, stand up and walk. And the guy gets up and walk. And he runs out of there screaming, praising God. Peter's heading in the right direction. I don't know how many people you healed this week, but that's pretty cool. He's on his way up. A little bit later, he gets almost thrown into jail, and he gets called between these before these religious leaders, and they accuse him of being this follower of Jesus, and they say, and you need to shut up and not speak about Jesus anymore because you're causing problems for the church in Jerusalem. And Peter says, I'm sorry, we're not going to do it. And they take note that this is an ordinary, unschooled man, but he's been with Jesus. Acts chapter 4, we read that. And he defends his faith in an incredibly powerful way, and he says, yes, I'm one of those followers of Jesus. He has a vision at some point where the sheet comes down from heaven and God says to him, get up and eat. And I mean, there's some very interesting things in there to eat. I don't know when last you had an octopus burger or a bear steak, you know, or a tiger or a rabbit, whatever. There was some cooking show on TV this afternoon and the dude was cooking rabbit. I don't know, just something doesn't look right about rabbit, you know. Chicken, yes. Can you imagine Nando's, I want a rabbit burger, a rabbit breast or whatever. It's just like rabbit breasts aren't things that humans should be eating. It's just not right. It's like rabbit. You know, there are some places in the world you go into the shop with your little chihuahua. They say, can I look after that? And they say, you say, could I have a steak? And you get a steak. And you say, could I have my dog? No, you ordered the steak. You didn't order vegetarian. And it's not nice. So be careful where you go. And you know what's going on here with Peter? Peter is prejudiced. Peter's not admitting, like the Gentiles, into the faith. He doesn't, you know, he wants to keep it pure. He wants, it's a Jewish boys club, this. And Jesus is saying, God is saying to him, there's nothing unclean. Everything is clean. So you can eat the hoof thing, which is good news for rib burgers and stuff like that now. And so he has his prejudice dealt with, and it's looking really good. Not a few weeks later, he's an absolute hypocrite, because now he's like, hanging out with the Gentiles, not hanging out with the Jews. The boy is all over the place. And Paul has to rebuke him and say, dude, what's with you? You're like a hypocrite. He's heading in the wrong direction again. Finally, the good news is that he writes two letters. I don't know who's going to read the two letters of Peter for us quickly. No, they're too long to read. They're pretty awesome letters. This is the same guy who's denied Jesus, rebuked Jesus, told him that, like, I don't want to be one of your followers. And he's now, even today, we read his letters. That's his journey. Now, I wonder what that teaches us about following Jesus. Any thought as you've been watching, what does it teach us about following Jesus? Anyone? You shouldn't really be hot and cold. Something else? Not going to be as smooth as we expect it to be. We want it to be, right? We're almost taught that it will be, aren't you? It's like, but you became a Christian. Why are you picking your nose? Well, I don't know. I had nothing to do with my finger, and I just found a hole to put it. You know, it wasn't me. It was my sister doing it, you know? And we sin and we blame and we pass the buck and stuff. What else does it teach us about the Christian faith? What does it teach us that if we stumble, are we done? Does God, like, send a laser beam? God always gives us a second chance. And he might even give a third chance. Unproven, but he might. I mean, look at Vincent. You're still standing. I think God's given Vincent, like, a quadruple chance. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty awesome, okay? Here's what I want you to do. Some of my lovely assistants are going to hand out so that each person gets one of these. And there's some pens over here as well. And what I want you to do, I want you to think of your journey. You make sure each person gets a pen. And I want you to think, and the way to do this maybe is on the bottom, maybe down the bottom, think of some events, okay? If you're not following Jesus, this is not going to take you long. If you're not one of those Jesus followers, you finished already, okay? You might want to decide to be one, and you can draw a circle somewhere. And here's, so maybe write down some things that have been highlights in your journey. I mean, I don't know what you would think. I don't want to tell you what to put down, but maybe there was a day when you became a Christian. Maybe there was the time when you were baptized. Sorry, Tanita, you could only do that one next week, okay? Maybe there was you went on the Victory Series, or maybe once you told someone about Jesus, or you saw someone healed when you prayed for them, or you know, and then maybe there's some, like, other dodgy stuff, you know, that time you picked your nose, you know, and you could maybe write that, or maybe one time you went through a period of real doubting, Like, I'm not sure this whole thing is, you know, like Thomas, one of Jesus' disciples, Doubting Thomas, we call him. Maybe you had a time of doubting. Maybe there was a dark moment when someone lost their life, and you were really grappling with that. And so if you wrote a few things down on the side or on the bottom, and then you could sort of say, okay, in order, let me try and plot and see what it looks like. Okay, and we'll give you sort of 5 or 10 minutes to think about that. Okay, some of you are done. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to someone next to you and share that with them. Okay, just talk them through your journey. So find a friend, someone you're comfortable with. If you want to leave out some of the gory details, or feel free. Kind of just show them quickly what it looks like. Okay, so heartbeat or a straight line, and then share something of your journey with them. You've each got a minute and a half, so you don't have a long time to do it with them. Okay, cool. Here is some incredible news. An offer you can't refuse. You are welcome to keep that piece of paper free of charge. You don't get free stuff a lot these days, right? Most free stuff you get is like from shoplifting, and then you can do the time. When you look at that again, if you look at it again, you're welcome to burn it or look at it again. Reflect on like, hey, so what were my highlights? What were my lowlights? What helps my journey improve? You know, what are the things that keep me going in the right direction? What are those things that seem to make me go in the wrong direction? And to be a better follower of Jesus, what do I need to do more of? What do I need to do less of? They say that in everything in life, to be better at it, there's things that you need to do more of, things you need to do less of. If you want to be a better person at school, getting straight A's, what do you need to do more of? Study would be a plus. What do you need to do less of? TV, gaming, Facebook, partying, whatever. Or at least during that time of learning, okay? So, and that's a thought for you. It's too late now to change your marks at school. What you've done is what you've done, okay? And just now pad your pants if your grades are going to be bad. And so my challenge to you is to keep on following Jesus. Don't give up. Even if you do, I think Jesus will come pursue you. There's that poem about the hound of heaven who pursues us down through the hallways of time. So if you don't want the hound of heaven snapping on your butt, then you might as well just follow Jesus with all you can. Okay? And let me pray for you. Father, I want to thank you that we have a journey. We have a history. Lord, today you've shown us that, hey, things have happened. We're not just walking around in circles, wandering around in the desert. Lord, there's some things that sadden us on our journey. There's some things that excite us. And we want to be more faithful followers of who you are. Help us to look into your word and be a better follower of you for your name's sake. Thank you, Lord. Amen.